It is my joy and privilege to share with you God's Word. I love God's Word. And this morning, we're going to begin with a profound, thought-provoking, intriguing question for you. The question is this: when, or we could say where, perhaps, does Jesus first appear in the Bible? Where or when does Jesus first show up in the Holy Scriptures? Now, I'm thinking maybe someone had the thought, Bethlehem. You know, it's not a bad guess, right? That's when he was born. He definitely showed up in Bethlehem. We read about that in the Gospel of Luke. But this morning, I want to show you how from the very beginning, meaning Genesis chapter 1, Jesus is there. In fact, we're going to go back even before the beginning of Genesis 1:1. Jesus was there as well. Before we get to that, a couple vocabulary words for you, okay? The Bible's original languages, the Old Testament written originally in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. But the first word for you today is the name of the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. You know that, right? So it's Old Testament, it's, you know, Hebrew language for the Old Testament, yet the word Genesis itself is a Greek word. It's a Greek word, Genesis. That's where we get that word. And it means beginning, not like chronologically, like a starting point, but beginning like where things began, how things came into being, origin, source, that kind of beginning. Genesis. The second word for you is a Hebrew word. And this shows up very early in the Hebrew scripture, Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. In fact, if you were going into the Hebrew scripture, it would be the second word you'd come to, not the same order as English. And that is the word bara. Bara is the word that means create. Now, what is distinct and unique about bara, the word for create in Hebrew, is the subject for this verb is always and only God himself. In other words, a human being, a person, can never bara. Now, we can make things. We even use the word create. But in this sense, only God can create things visible out of invisible, things out of nothing. God is the only one who creates with this verb bara. That's pretty cool. I'm going to read, you know, it says Genesis 1 through 3, meaning chapters 1 through 3. I'm not going to read all three chapters. That would take, you know, a while. Just going to read from Genesis 1, verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to jump to verse 24. So we'll start at the very beginning, and then I'm going to jump to, as we read through the creation account, what would be day 6. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Bara, there it is. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Going to jump now to what will be day 6, verse 24. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." We'd say species. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created. There it is, bara. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. See, bara, bara, bara. Three times in there, when it comes to human beings, mankind, how God created us. Now, I said I'm going to go back to the beginning, and in fact, back before the beginning, before Genesis 1:1. Just pause there. Think about that, okay? We're going back before the beginning, before creation. Jesus himself, we read in the New Testament, he proclaimed, he declared, he said, he's transcendent. First example, in John 8:58, he's speaking with some Jews. They're asking him things, telling him things, and he comes to verse 58 in chapter 8 of John. And Jesus says to them, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am." Now, Jesus, we're going back from our day, 2020, to the first century AD, so about 2,000 years ago when Jesus said this. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus, so we're going back about 4,000 years. But Jesus, it's like us going back to Jesus' day, is Jesus going back to saying, before Abraham was born, I am. You recognize, if you read, you know, throughout Scripture, that statement of who he is, I am. That's the Old Testament name for God himself, Yahweh, which is the ever-present, omnipresent, transcendent name, always being. It means I am who I am, eternally. Jesus, we could take that out of context, and it's true to say, Jesus before, and we can fill in the blank. Not only Abraham was born, but you can fill in before Genesis 1:1, before the creation of time, I am. And it remains true of Jesus. He's eternal. If we go later in John's Gospel to chapter 17, the whole chapter is a prayer from Jesus the Son to God the Father. And in John 17, verse 5, Jesus in prayer, he says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Before Genesis 1:1, before God created the heavens and the earth, the world, Jesus shared in the Father's glory eternally. This hurts our brain, doesn't it? It hurts my brain, because we can only think within time. And now we're going outside of time and before creation. Another way to fitting Lexi's song, I can only imagine. We can really only imagine going back like that. We don't know exactly what that looked like. But Jesus and the Father shared glory eternally before creation, before the world began. Now here's another one. You can pause and think about this, well, all day, all night, all week. This next verse, God had you in mind. God had all those who would believe in Jesus Christ and be saved through him in his mind, in his plan, before Genesis 1:1. Okay? Before creation. This is what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says. For he, that is for God, chose us. That would apply to all believers in Jesus Christ. For God chose us in him, that is, in Jesus Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love. God's not surprised by anything. He's had all of history, all of creation planned out down to the minute details. He knew before he created the world that there would be sin. He knew we would need a redeemer and savior. We're going to get to that next. And he chose us in Christ. There's Jesus before creation, before he created the world. Just think about that. Wow. Jesus himself was chosen before creation. 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 says this. It says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." Now, When it uses the word chosen before the creation of the world, it's not like there were a number of options laid before God. And he said, I'm going to choose Jesus out of these other options to be the Redeemer for his blood to be shed. It really means chosen in the sense of preeminently predetermined, known again ahead of time by God. Jesus would be the one, the precious Lamb whose blood would be given to redeem us. Again, before the creation of the world, all of these take us before Genesis 1:1. So we see Jesus before creation. Now we're going to go back into Genesis 1 and see Jesus in creation. Okay? I have a little card here. This is like a trading card. And Angela, I'm so glad you're here. She's going to get one of these today in our Sunday school time later this morning. So each week as we go through the story, there's actually a card for each chapter, 31 chapters. And here's the first one. On the front, it says God. It has kind of a little picture regarding creation on there. On the back, it has the verse of the day, the verse of the chapter, which is Genesis 1:1. I'm thinking many of you already know this verse. This is our memory verse for today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You all have that, right? First verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There's the verse. There's our card. Remember the opening question. I said, when does Jesus first appear in the Bible? Well, check this out. In that verse, Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God, going back to the Hebrew again here, the Hebrew word for God there is not Yahweh, it's Elohim. Now, it might not mean much to us, Elohim, but that's not a singular noun. Elohim is a plural noun. One God, but he's referred to with a plural noun. Elohim doesn't mean just one. It means many, but within one, God. We sang about it in the song, we read about it, talking about the Trinity, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Elohim. If you don't see Jesus quite yet, it's like, okay, plural noun. Come to verse 2. Here's not Jesus, but in Genesis 1, verse 2, it mentions another part of the Trinity. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Father, Son, Spirit. Verse 2. See the Holy Spirit. Second verse of the Bible. Now come to verse 3. Look and listen for Jesus here. And God said, did you see him? Like, what? Did you hear him? I didn't say it yet. But you see Jesus, watch carefully. And God said, let there be light. Did you see Jesus? I'm going to jump to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. How did he create? Verse 3, and God said. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Genesis, in the beginning, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And John still, through him, that is through the Word, all things were created. Without him, nothing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. We say, well, this Word, is that Jesus? We come to verse 14 in John chapter 1. It says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became a human being. He's talking about Jesus, through whom all things were created, and he's the Word of God. God said, he said words. It's Jesus. Let there be light. Through him, all things were made, created, through Jesus Christ. He's there. You know, Eric read from Psalm 33. Verse 6 in Psalm 33 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Who is the word of the Lord? It is Jesus. Their starry host by the breath, by the way, it's the same word in Hebrew and Greek for breath, wind, and spirit. Here we have the Holy Spirit in creation. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9 in Psalm 33 says, for God spoke, and it came to be. He said the word, and it happened. He commanded, and it stood firm. Jesus is the word of God in John chapter 1. Jesus is the word that was spoken and through whom all things were made and created. Now, again, I can say this. My brain is still trying to, ponder it, meditate on it. But it's true. It's no accident that John 1:1 echoes completely Genesis 1:1, the first three words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. Another New Testament passage that lays this out is Colossians 1, verses 15 through 17. It says this, the Son, that is the Son of God, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him, that is in the Son who is Jesus, for in Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, for Jesus. He, Jesus, is, again, before all things, and in him all things hold together. For Jesus, through Jesus, by Jesus, he sustains and is overseeing everything. It's Jesus. It's awesome. I'm going to go now from before creation to in and through creation to the first man, Adam. Before I get to that, take a step back here for a moment. Another I can only imagine. I want you to use your imagination here for a moment. Think about the world, all of creation, without human beings. Okay, just think about this for a moment. Yeah, go back in time and picture the world without any human beings. No people. Strange at first, maybe, but what's another word maybe that you think of that would describe that? For me, the word I landed on is incomplete. Incomplete. For God created the world, and I'll go so far as to say the cosmos, okay, meaning the universe, for us. God created us, human beings, for himself, for him. Again, Colossians would say, and another way to say it really is, it's not just for us, it's actually for him as well. But he created us within it for himself. Again, all things for Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, for God's glory, ultimately. Now, you know, I have heard that some people, I've heard some people who say they're Christians actually say, you know, Adam, it's just a name to represent the beginning of humanity, that there wasn't actually one man, one first man named Adam. That's a myth, right? That's just a story. That's a legend. Well, one historian, more than one historian, but here's one historian who would beg to differ with that assessment. His name is Luke. He was a physician, and he set out to write carefully the things that happened. And he, Luke, gives us a genealogy of Jesus. Okay? So in Luke chapter 3, I'm not going to read the whole genealogy that's listed, but I'm going to read the verse 23. It says, now Jesus himself was about 30 years old. See, Luke is the one who puts an age in here, you know? The other ones actually don't. So Luke says, now Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He, Jesus, was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph, you know, Mary and Joseph, the son of Heli, and then it goes on through the son of the son of the son of the son of a whole list through verse, and I'll go to verse 38. So I've skipped a whole bunch here. Verse 38 says, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam. Then it says, the son of God. Adam was the first man. Adam is referenced other places in the New Testament as well. But let's think about this. It says, in the image of God, he, that is God, created, bara, them, Adam and Eve, male and female, man and woman. Whose image were Adam and Eve created in? And there's a bara, only God can create. In his image, right? But Colossians 1 says too that God himself is invisible. How can you create a visible being, a human being, visible in an invisible image? You can't, actually, in a way. Going back to Colossians 1, I read it, but we probably missed it. Colossians 1:15 said, the Son, capital S, the Son of God is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is God's image. He's the image of the invisible God. So whose image were Adam and Eve created in? Jesus. In his image. Perfect. Right? Did things stay perfect in Genesis 1, 2, so far 2, yeah. Did things stay perfect, perfectly in God's image, as created? No. We get to Genesis chapter 3. We had two chapters of things being good, 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 and very good. And then chapter 3 in Genesis, serpent, who is Satan the devil, comes in, deceives Adam and Eve, and they rebel against God. They sin. They fall. That perfect image of Jesus, the perfect image of God in whom they were created, was broken, was tarnished. They rebelled against God the Creator. 1 Peter 1 had said Jesus had already been chosen before the beginning of the world to be their Redeemer, to redeem humankind. Again, God knew sin would happen. When they were deceived and fell, God wasn't like, what just happened? He already had a plan for their redemption, for our salvation. His plan, the chosen Redeemer, again, was and is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we all are being transformed into his image, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Created perfectly in God's image, sinned, broken, tarnished, recreated, transformed back into his image. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and Romans chapter 5, it's interesting, both describe or refer to Jesus as the last Adam. So we have the first Adam, the first man in Genesis 1 and then 2 and on. And then Jesus is described as the last Adam in the sense that the first Adam sinned and through him all of humanity was broken and fall short of God. Jesus, as the last Adam, did not sin, fulfilled the perfect image of God, and through faith in him, transforms all sinners back into his image. The last Adam. Kind of interesting. Moving on to one more aspect here. That before creation, in and through creation, the first man, Adam, we see pointing ahead to Jesus. And now just the setting itself and some other aspects here. It was the Garden of Eden. First reference to the garden by name is Genesis 2:15. Other places it's referred to as the Garden of Eden. The serpent, Satan, came in, deceived them. Adam and Eve sinned. Tells us before they sinned, before they disobeyed God, says they were naked and unashamed. Did they have anything to be ashamed of? Anything literally to hide from one another or from God before they sinned? Absolutely nothing. Take one moment just to ponder that. Can you imagine your deepest, darkest thoughts of your whole life, let alone your words, your actions, how you've treated people, everything, not a single blemish? Absolutely. Put it all up on the big screen before everyone. Nothing to hide. I can only imagine. Wow, completely unashamed. Nothing to hide from another person or from God. Unashamed. After they sin, right away it says, first thing, they're naked and they're ashamed. And they try to cover themselves from each other. And together, they try to hide from God. Completely fallen apart. Now they want to hide everything, including their themselves, from God, their creator. That's what sin does. That's what it is. Genesis 3:8, right after they sinned, says, then the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, I like that though, the man and his wife, they heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? Did God actually not see him, not know where Adam and Eve were hiding? I think there's a whole deeper sense to this. Where are you now? What's happened? God asks us questions. Where are you? Where are you? Little speculation here, but just kind of for fun, okay? Think about this. Who did Adam and Eve hear walking in the garden? Well, we say the Lord God, that's what it says, right? Who again is our chosen Redeemer from before the world began? It's Jesus, the Son. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says about himself, he says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The lost, referring to those who are hiding or fleeing, running because of their sin. The Redeemer comes to seek and to save, to find. They were hiding. He comes to seek. Mark 2:17, Jesus says, I have not come for the righteous, but for sinners. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners, those who have rebelled, those who have fallen short, those who are seeking to hide from God. Who did they hear? Into creation. Again, Jesus hadn't taken on flesh yet. He wasn't a human being yet. But they heard God walking, and they heard now God's word. The word, where are you? Where Jesus shows up even more clearly in Genesis 3. Anywhere Jesus shows up, by the way, where Jesus is, there is the gospel. Right? Last week we talked about, do you believe in the gospel? What is the gospel? The first point was it's always about relating to, regarding Jesus Christ, where he is. Genesis 3 verse 15 has been called the proto-evangelion, two Greek words, proto meaning first, evangelion meaning gospel, good news, shows up here. After they sinned, God cursed the serpent. God, in a sense, put a curse on childbearing. Pain would begin through childbirth. God cursed the ground so that work became very toilsome. Work became work, burdensome, and other things. But in verse 15, God said, I will put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, Eve, and enmity between your offspring, the serpent, offspring, and hers, the woman's offspring. He, the offspring of the woman, will crush your head, Satan, and you will strike his heel. Offspring of the woman that would crush Satan's head, who is that? You can say it. It is Jesus. There's no other offspring of the woman that would crush Satan's head. Jesus did that. That is a direct point to the seed or offspring of the woman, pointing on through the promise to Abraham and on the covenant to David, to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15, he's there. He's right there, and there's the gospel. That points to Jesus becoming a man, you know, the offspring of the woman who would crush Satan's head. It also points to Jesus suffering and death. That's ultimately how he would crush Satan, and through his resurrection. But speaking of the death of Jesus, here in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned. They were ashamed. They says they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Now, how long would a set of fig leaves last, do you think? I think you can't do much, and those are going to, you have to keep sewing more fig leaves. A lot. So what does God do? It says he punished them, and he banished them from the garden. They had to get out. But what else does he do? It says he also, God, covered their nakedness and their shame. Verse 21 in Genesis 3, it says, the Lord God made garments of skin, not fig leaves, for Adam and his wife and clothed them. You think about this? They just rebelled against their Creator, their God. They sinned. They're being punished. They're being cast out. But as they're being cast out, God himself covers them. They had tried to cover themselves. And he covers them with skin. Well, whose skin? You see what's happening here? Perfect creation. What died so that Adam and Eve, who sinned, could be covered? An animal. It doesn't tell us which one. This is the first sacrifice. It's the first death in the Bible, Genesis 3. And it's because Adam and Eve sinned that another creature sheds its blood and gives its skin to cover their shame. God didn't have to do that. He could have wiped them out. He could wipe us out. He didn't have to do that. Why did he do that? That's love. That's gospel. That's grace. I said shedding blood, covering their sin, covering their shame. What does that make you think of? Our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, shedding his blood, taking our sin upon himself so we would be clothed in his righteousness. Our sin, our shame covered. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Wow. Creation, well, before creation and creation, Adam and Eve, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, thousands of years ago. I'm not going to get into all that, you know. But when I see, I'll be honest, when I see things that say 50 million years ago, and the numbers, by the way, keep getting longer and farther back. Why? Because they don't know, A. And also, because if you're going to try to pretend that evolution could work, which it doesn't because it didn't happen that way, you have to just keep going farther and farther back. That's all you can do is to say, well, if we add another 50 trillion years, maybe it somehow could. Anyway, it's ludicrous. We don't know, but I'm going to stick with thousands. I'm going to stick with thousands. We're going back thousands of years. But I want to bring it back home now to 2020, September 13, today, to you and me right here, right now. If you believe this is true, meaning Genesis 1, meaning John 1, meaning the Word of God, if you believe this is true, that means you have faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says, it's by faith that we understand. Know and understand that God created what is seen from what is invisible. And we could say out of nothing from our understanding, created bara. God did that. We know that. We understand it by faith. And if you have faith in God and his word, that means that God's word, Jesus, created that faith in you. By the way, only God can do that. Bara. Create faith in somebody. God does that. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Why hearing? Because it's the word, right? God said, God spoke, and it happened. We hear the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or message of Jesus Christ. And do you know, think about this, when God said in Genesis 1, let there be light, in the same way and with the same creative power, God said, let there be light in your heart so that you can see Jesus and be saved, transformed in his image forever. God speaks light into your heart. You have faith and you see and know and believe in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. It's a great, another, all these are great to meditate on. But 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we are in over our heads. Lord, you are amazing. Lord, it is by faith that we believe. It's by faith we understand that you spoke and it happened. You gave your word and creation took place and stands firm. And Jesus, you created it. And it's been created through you, by you, for you. And one day, we go on in your word. This broken creation, though we see glimpses of your glory still yet today, and even in the miracles of life and your grace and love, we're still in a broken, dark world. But one day, even all of creation will be restored to perfection. A new Garden of Eden, a new city. Lord, that's amazing. Lord, today I pray that your word would accomplish your work in our hearts, in our lives. Create and stir up and encourage our faith in Jesus, that we may see you, Jesus, more and more. In your name we pray. Amen.